When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
We're chasing the one seed. We understand that. We know that. And we got to keep getting better each and every week. But it's going to be fun to go out there and play free and play relaxed and play loose. That could be a dangerous team.
Allen over the middle, complete to Shakir. 40, 30, 20, still on his feet. Looking for the end zone, and he's going to make it for the touchdown. Takes the snap, quick hitter, thrown behind, but somehow caught, and now lateral to Allen, and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown. Another handoff to Cook, through a hole, darts to the middle of the field, 30, 25, 20, still on his feet, 10, 5, and Cook is in for the touchdown. Fakes the throw, Allen going to step up in the pocket. Now he's going to take it and run, and he's got the first down and more. 10, 5, and muscles his way into the end zone for an unbelievable 26-yard touchdown run.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Yes, Football Friday. Good morning. Good morning, Football Friday. Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
Welcome to a Football Friday. I had a thought to run something by Chris Brown, you know, kind of kidding, about the play-by-play on Sunday. You know how it works. You work in play-by-play, and I'm sure you're in the grocery store, and people come up to you and say, like, you know what? You should call James Cook so-and-so.
Blank, yeah.
Right. And you're probably a nice person, like Chris. You're like, yeah, I'm going to show you. It's a good one. It's a good one.
Yeah.
So, on the one hand, I kind of want to do that on something we talked about yesterday. Like, right there, if that happens on Sunday, giddy up jingle horse for Josh Allen. Let's come on. Giddy up jingle horse.
I'm gonna want, though, if he thinks it's a terrible idea, I'm gonna want him to not play nice, like, oh yeah, that's a good one. I'm wanting to be like, no, it's terrible.
I don't even want to bring it up to him because
you're afraid of it being terrible. Of it being actually done.
I'm afraid that it's too good.
Oh, come
and
on.
Once
it's
and
not
I'm sure
too
Chris,
good.
I don't know. Chris is good at this stuff. He probably has like 10 in the hopper that are ready. Maybe the Bills score 10 touchdowns. Who knows? He's probably got a bunch that are ready for Sunday that are candy cane themed. You know, it's the dance of the sugar plum fairies. Who knows? But if I bring it up to him, then he can't use it. Maybe he's just ready to go with Jingle Horse and, you know, he's never heard it yet and we just have great minds think alike. So I'm not going to bring it up because maybe he'll say giddy up Jingle Horse and, you know. We all win.
And then we'll find it on Monday on Josh Allen's Pro Football Reference page as one of his nicknames.
I was going to joke with you. It's another thought I had yesterday is we should at some point, a mission of the show should be to give Allen a nickname that makes it to Pro Football Reference.
I feel like it can't be that hard because there are nicknames on his Pro Football Reference page that I have never heard of before.
Right.
General, which like... Who has ever heard? Have you heard Josh Allen referred to as that?
There's like the Twitter account that's
the
like
really
Lieutenant General Josh Allen,
horrible,
or whatever.
Lame Twitter account that copied the Andrew Luck account that was the only good version of that account.
I was gonna say I knew the Andrew Luck account was that,
yes.
But
yes.
What we were doing that for all the quarterbacks?
Like 10 people copied their own quarterback and decided to do it themselves.
Okay, well
yes.
that's terrible. JA17.
Sure.
But that's just his initials and his number. It's not even, like, really a nickname. And then the Winter Soldier.
Right.
Which, like, okay, I get it. But, like, who's out there calling him that? Anybody?
That could grow. I mean, if there's another snow game, that could grow.
Yep.
But that is a tough one. I mean, he wears red, white, and blue, and, you know, and whatever. That might need some work. Jingle Horse.
Jingle Horse might be better than all of these, though.
I mean, right now he's working on Mr. December. That's starting to happen, Mr. December. And not as an insult. You know, he'd like to be Mr. January, February. But in December, he turns it on, and he's amazing. And he has a chance to have the greatest fantasy football December ever.
Uh-huh.
A December to remember. So hopefully he does that, because I have him in a Dynasty League that I'd really like to win.
He really could be called Mr. December.
He could.
But I almost feel like that's a backhanded compliment.
It's just
a
not
little
what
bit.
It's just not what you care about.
Yeah, like
Mr. One Seed, if you still never won it, like, well, thanks.
Yeah, right. Like Kirk Cousins, I think has been referred to as Mr. September, maybe, right? And like that's kind of an insult, I think.
Yeah,
is being referred to as Mr. September. So Mr. December, I feel like, yeah, kind of the same thing. Like, I don't really want to be Mr. December. You want to be Mr. February, I think. Or Mr.
Yep.
January, even, might be a little bit better.
Yep, I agree.
Jingle Horse is not bad. Now, after a little bit further research, the NFL accounts, their YouTube accounts, their website, in the winter of 2021, they repeatedly referred to Josh Allen as the Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Like, official NFL, like, highlight videos on YouTube or articles on NFL.com. I don't see any other reference. So somebody at NFL.com and their YouTube channel decided, we're going to start calling him the Winter Soldier, I think.
Was that in partnership with, like, Marvel or something? They get paid for it?
Okay. Maybe.
Probably not.
Was there a movie that 3 years ago? Okay, that might line up. Maybe there was one around there. Yeah.
Well, whatever. Anyway, good morning. It's Football Friday. Bills and Patriots. 4:25 on Sunday. Wind won't be a factor. It will be cold. Maybe we'll do one of those things, one of those segments where we give people tips on how to stay warm. You call in, give your tip to stay warm, what works for you. I have had a bunch of people write to me, reach out on Twitter and say, hey, I'm going to the first game in a while, coming up from so-and-so. You know, what do you recommend? What should I get? What do I do to stay warm? So we could spend some time with that. We also had a heck of a football game last night. I watched that whole thing.
I did too. I watched the entire game.
It was a great game, and there's a bunch to talk about. The playoff implications for the Bengals, which means Bengals panic is beginning. Bills fans with Bengals panic, that is starting.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're still not exactly in a good position to make the playoffs, but they could. So Bengals panic is underway. We got a fair catch, free kick, converted field goal.
Yeah, awesome.
For the first time in the NFL since 1976.
Uh-huh.
Which is pretty cool. And watching that was a lot of fun.
Did you know the rule?
I did.
Okay, me too. Me too. We talked about it like very briefly, just like in passing, that or maybe I mentioned or I saw it on Twitter that the Bills could have fair caught the ball against the Rams and done a free kick from like their own end zone or like from their own 1 yard line.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had seen an attempt. Maybe remembered there being an attempt by a team like maybe like 5 years ago from like way far away. So the moment I saw them talking up on the sidelines, I'm like, oh, I wonder if this is what they're doing. Like the special teams coordinator must have come over and be like, hey, we can do this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did know it, and it was kind of funny to watch it play out in real time. I knew it, but I'll admit this. I did not know what it was going to look like.
Okay.
How does the kicker, without a rush, kick it? At one point, I'm watching, and Dicker runs off the field and kicks one or two more into the net before running back on the field.
Because Peyton iced him, right?
A little bit.
He called a timeout.
And at that point, I thought, is he going to get his tee? I wasn't sure if you had to have a holder or if you could put it on a tee or what you could do, but I knew that it was indeed a scenario where a fair catch means there's a fair catch free kick. Yes.
Yeah, I do wonder, does that mean, do they have the option? I don't know, if they might have the option to
of a holder versus a tee?
To use a tee. I'm not sure about
that.
I
don't know either.
It's a like free kick.
It was the only part of it. And then it is kind of funny that the whole special teams unit lines up like it's a kickoff. So if you flipped on the game late without the explanation, or maybe you're in a bar and you just look over at the screen, you're like, what on earth is this?
Yeah. No kicking tee, by the way. Okay. It can be a place kick with a holder, or it could be a drop kick.
Okay, no one's ever going to drop kick at 70 yards or 57 yards.
No. I doubt that highly.
The reason it's rare is because think about the sweet spot for distance. You have to. It's probably going to be 50 yards at the very least, no matter what. Because
right.
The fair catch would have to be at the 40-yard line. That's one thing. There's no snap. There's no 7 or 8 yards added to it. So wherever the fair catch is made is where the free kick that Cameron Dicker hits is from. And the only reason it was on the plus side of the field is because there was a 15-yard penalty for kick-catch interference.
Right.
So that's why it's so rare. It's just how often do you see...
You would need
a fair catch made inside the 50.
Yeah.
And two, as time expires.
Yeah, you would need everything to go perfectly like it kind of did there, which is you're at the end of the half or the end of a game, and you need like the opposing team. The penalty helps in this one. You probably need the opposing team like backed up like inside their own 5-yard line, don't you?
Yep.
And then like the kick is only like 50 yards. It's like 45 yards maybe, and you fair catch it with 1 second left. And then you kick it there. Like that's you need everything to go exactly perfect, I think, to be able to do that. So and how about the audacity of Sean Payton, by the way, to say that we practice this as
right.
He's walking off the
he
field,
did
something
say
that hasn't happened since 1976.
Well, it's fun that there's no follow-up. What do you practice?
Right, aren't you?
What do you practice, Sean? What is it that you practice about this scenario?
Because what your team is doing is just kick return, I think, right?
Right, that's it, yep.
He's just, we practice our kick return coverage. Man, I almost spit my drink out when I heard that. Like,
right.
We practice, just, he wanted a little bit of credit. Like, oh, we practice everything, guys. We knew the rule. We knew
I'd
that
like
this was possible.
Someone to go into a deep dive of every training camp for the last 20 years of Sean Payton coaching and be like, oh, they're practicing their kick catch interference, free kick catch. You sure you are?
Yeah. Yeah,
sure you are. If you had practiced it, you would have made a note. Whatever you do, do not hit the guy making the fair catch
as time is expiring.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the only thing you can't do. Let's tackle this guy, but if he's about to make a fair catch, then definitely don't touch him.
Right. Don't blast him in the leg as you're running by him because the half's over.
Yeah.
If you don't touch him, the half is over.
I thought it was hilarious that right. He said we practiced that. What practice? What? Cameron Dicker tries to kick it from 57. Is that the practice?
Yeah.
You're telling me you line up your special teamers at the 40, at the 50-yard line, the 47-yard line, and practice not covering a return because Dicker's going to kick it out of the end zone? So that was very funny. Sean Payton claimed he was going to that they practiced that. I did appreciate that. The other thing about that game. So, okay, Broncos-Chargers. I don't know if Bills fans were watching and scouting either of those teams as, you know, do I want to play this team? How do I feel about the Broncos or the Chargers? The first stages of that game looked like Denver was going to win by 30.
Yeah, they were.
Complete control.
Yeah.
Complete control of the game. But after the game's over and they kind of give it back and give it away, it's the kind of situation where Bo Nix is having a nice season, but I think it's really tough to imagine being afraid of Bo Nix in the playoffs. They do not throw the ball down the field at all.
Yeah.
At all. There's no driving of the football down the field. Everything is in the line of scrimmage. Everything is throw it here and do some yak. All of it. And there's a point to be made here that I've got for stat of the day, but maybe I'll save it a little bit. About like depth of target. If you're playing the Broncos, you can just absolutely jump everything because Nix is not throwing good deep balls. He's not going to hit you over the top. He threw two of the most comically unbelievable deep balls I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Last night.
The one to Mims in the second half, maybe they were actually kind of similar, but the one to Mims in the second half where he ran a double route, like he got the guy to bite on the comeback, and then he had a touchdown.
Yep.
Like you lay it out for him. Marvin Mims burned his corner, like he's walking into the end zone, and the ball left Nick's hand, and it almost felt like it.
Straight up.
It went straight up in the air. It almost felt like it rolled off, like it slipped out of his hand as it was following through. It looked so bad. And then it just went straight up into the air. And honestly, I think he should have got the pass interference call.
Probably.
Because
it would have been awarding
under
a terrible throw.
But think about the throw. Like, Mims is, what, 5 yards in front, 6 yards in front of his corner, and the ball, it should have been pass interference because the ball is like 5 yards under thrown. Like, he missed that throw by 10 yards. At least. That was just one pass. But yeah. No, like to the point, like there was not much going on down the field. They opened with 3 touchdowns and then 5 punts, 2 field goal drives in their final 7. Like yep. how do you not move the ball even a little bit? They couldn't even run it if they wanted to.
No. And I just wouldn't be afraid of him. He can run. And he ran for a bunch of yards. Herbert can run, something that he's been doing a little bit more of late, but like watching those two teams play, their offenses would just have so much trouble keeping up with the Bills. They're limited. The Broncos are limited on offense. The Chargers are limited on offense. It runs through Ladd McConkey and Josh Palmer. But the
a lot of fullbacks being used on these two teams.
Yeah, of fullbacks. Gus Edwards had a big day, and he looked pretty good. But other than that, like watching these two teams, it's hard to imagine they would keep up. And that's where the Bengals' panic begins. For Bills fans out there, and maybe short of panic, I might be jumping over
because
they're
still, I don't know what the odds are. They're still pretty unlikely to make it. Like they need to win out, and they need Denver to lose out. Right.
Right. So how does that happen? Right. How does Cincinnati win out and Denver loses out? First off, they play.
Right. Okay, that's one of the three.
That's one of the three. The other is Denver's last game is Kansas City. Okay.
Uh-huh.
If the Chiefs need that game, then you'd probably like the Chiefs' chances of beating Denver. Maybe, maybe not. Whatever. We can argue about that. The Bengals play the Steelers, who could also need that game or be locked into a spot. So the number of games the Bengals need to go their way, it is a win out and the other team loses out, but it's not that far-fetched. The Bengals play the Browns this week. Once you play the Browns and get that win, now it's beat Denver, and then see how it goes in week 18. You're alive going into week 18.
Right.
The thing I would wonder is, are the Chiefs locked in and resting Mahomes? So what Cincinnati wants on Saturday, and here's an element of this, Bills fans, ready? You decide. Are you scared enough of Cincinnati that you want to be rooting for Houston to beat the Chiefs? Actually, wait, would both of those scenarios be good? Yes, they would, so never mind. I thought they were pitted against each other. But the Bengals want Houston to beat Kansas City and so do the Bills. Because that would keep the one seed race alive and I had it backwards, I'm sorry. The Bengals want the Chiefs to win. So they will be locked up of the one seed with a game remaining.
Uh-huh. And because they play the Steelers in the final game and the Broncos play the Chiefs. So the two teams that matter the most. Like, you got motivational things there. Like, is Pittsburgh playing for as much in week 18? You want them to not, and you also want the Chiefs to still be playing for something. So how do you get those two things at the same time?
Gotcha. Right. Pretend the last 30 seconds didn't happen. It's before 7 a.m. Mistakes don't count.
They're going to want the Steelers to win.
I'm talking Kansas City, Houston on Saturday.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Okay.
Cincinnati wants Houston to win.
Okay.
Because Houston to win means the Chiefs are dealt a loss, and if the Bills do their job, the Chiefs are only a game up on them, and the Chiefs will pretty much have to go to the wire in the regular season, and the Chiefs will want to beat Denver in Week 18. Sorry, that's how I get
there. Okay, right.
Because if Kansas City beats Houston and beats Pittsburgh, they don't care about that game against Denver at the end, and Cincinnati will need Kansas City to win that game. The fact the Chiefs have one loss means perfect season is out the door. They're going for a three-peat, right? So you would think that Kansas City's not all that hung up on the idea of a meaningless game that they don't need if they've already clinched the one seed. So the Bengals want the Chiefs to go get that one.
Yeah. The thing, though, that is, this is what makes it so tough for Cincinnati. Like, they need... So, like, I would agree. All of that happening, not that far-fetched. It is, what, 5 results left that you need? Well, actually, yeah. It's 4 results because they're playing a head-to-head. So you need 4 more results to go your way. But that's not it. Like, New York Times playoff machine, I just plugged all that in. Bengals to win their final 3 games. It includes the Broncos game. And then the Broncos lose in Week 18 to Kansas City. All that happens, and the Bengals are still only sitting with a 59% chance to make the playoffs. Because they need other things. They need the Colts to lose. They need the Dolphins to lose. And, like, that's kind of a roadblock. Indianapolis, I don't think they're good at all, and they could lose to anybody. But they play Tennessee, the New York Giants, and the Jaguars to end the year. So, like, it could be kind of amazing where the Bengals get everything they need to happen in a head-to-head trying to catch Denver, and, oh, no, you missed anyway because the Colts didn't play anybody down the stretch. The Dolphins, even if you want it, they don't really play anybody. The Niners, Browns, and Jets to end the year for Miami. So, like, I would agree that, like, the Bengals are the most interesting.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Stinky Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinky Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Team to ask about, though, because like, they're, I pointed out yesterday, like in yards per play, there are 3 AFC teams in the top 15 of the league. But who are the 3? It's the Bills, Ravens, and it's the Bengals. Yeah. Like, they are... I don't even think it's disputable. I think they are the 3rd best offense in the AFC, but they also might have the worst defense, and that's why they're sitting where they are. So, like, I think they are more fearful than the others. Like, you can watch that game last night, and it's just kind of like, these teams are not keeping up with this Bills offense right now. And the Bengals, like, they could maybe play a shootout. So, it maybe isn't that far-fetched they get in. But I can respect anyone that, like, just, I want no part of them. I like that I know the record, but I want no part of them in the first round at all.
Let's get a call or two here in before the break. Steve in Niagara Falls is up first. Hey, Steve, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I actually have a fantasy dilemma. So I'm in what would be the semifinals. Next week will be the finals. And it's a dynasty league, and when I tell you my team, you're going to think I'm in a two-man league, but I drafted a lot of these guys as rookies. You know, I have Allen at my QB, and I have Barkley and Achane as my running backs. And wide receiver 1 and wide receiver 2 are Jefferson and Chase, because I got them all as rookies, which is just... So yeah, my team is just... It's a very, very good team. And I'm in first place, so I had a bye last week. And my flex position, this is why I explained my first 2 receivers, I'm torn between Mike Evans and Khalil Shakir. And I'm not 100% sure who I should put in. I feel like Mike Evans could have a boom game, but also a bust game. And I feel like Shakir, no matter what, will have a good game. So I'm just kind of torn on what to do there. And before I hang up and listen to your response, I'll just let you guys know. It's a bummer that the Sabres stink right now, because I feel like it's the one thing holding the city of Buffalo from being, like, over the top of sports.
Yeah.
And but the Bills, man... we, like you guys have said for weeks, we are lucky to be alive to be watching what Josh Allen is doing. And it's, I'll tell you this much, it is even better when you have him as your fantasy QB.
Yep.
It has been so much fun. So I'll listen to you guys. I hope you both have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And I'll listen to what you guys have to say about Evans or Shakir, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve, very much. I'd go, first off, on lucky to be alive and how good Allen is to have him on fantasy. I traded for him in a dynasty league, and it's been wonderful, and I'm never looking back. I also traded him away in another dynasty league, but that was a team that was rebuilding, and I had a lot of work to do. On Evans or Shakir, I would go Evans hard.
Like, yeah, for me, it's not even close.
Here's why. And you let me know if you have the same explanation. The Bills everybody eats kind of stuff is legit, and I think James Cook's going to have a big day against the Patriots. I think Josh Allen's going to shark a touchdown or two. Like, I do think the Bills might have a mind to finish the job to get Josh Allen the MVP. And while no one will ever admit that that is real and that's at the top of their mind, there's no doubt the organization would like it to happen, and I think Joe Brady would like it to happen, and I think Josh Allen, even though he might say he doesn't care, would like it to happen, and I'm sure his teammates would like it to happen. Like, they're going to want to keep pushing the pedal to the metal and probably put up 40 points with him doing a lot of the work, mm-hmm. Keeping him healthy. And on the Evans side of it, they're playing the Cowboys, who are a horrendous defense, and I mean, Mike Evans' schedule in the playoffs is so good that if you traded for him, you're a shark here, because Dallas this week, and who is it next week? Is it Carolina?
Carolina next week.
Okay, yeah. Like, I would not even blink, and I'd play Mike Evans.
Yeah, I think this could be like a mentality thing where it almost feels like Mike Evans is more volatile because his ceiling is higher. But his floor is actually not, like, just because his range is wider doesn't mean that the floor is lower than Shakir's. Like, if you compare the two, like, I would agree. Shakir has a floor. Like, he's had two bust games all year. That's pretty much it. And one of them was San Francisco, where they barely threw any passes. And Evans, though, like, it's kind of the same. Like, it's two bust games all year. So, to me, the floors are pretty close, if not the same. And Evans could win you a game on his own. Like, that's the one thing about, like, Shakir being the Bills' number one, the type of player he is, where, like Evans last week, what was that? 9 catches, 159 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, Shakir's, like, almost never doing
that. He's not doing that. But because how is Evans doing that? He is running down the field. He is catching 50-yard touchdowns. He's, making big plays. And Shakir has to work for it harder. So, yeah, in this point in fantasy, you want to be swinging for the fences. And, like, to me, Mike Evans is just, like, an automatic play for that mentality.
Football Friday, thank you. Happy to answer fantasy football dilemmas. I got 10 points from Cortland Sutton, which I think is exactly the amount that you might be fine with. Right?
Yeah, you might be. You're okay with it. You're not mad.
No, I might have wanted 12, but 10 is fine.
If it's 0.1 less, how are you feeling?
Fine.
The 999.99 versus the 10.00.
Football Friday brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game to the Crosby's way. When we get back, let's get into that Bengals fear a little bit. If you want to talk about the Bengals, who are alive for a spot to play the Bills, depending on where the Bills line up. And also, a stat from last night's game that will get into the Chargers as a potential matchup for the Bills. You decide if this is either something to be afraid of or play directly into what the Bills do well. 803-0550, Football Friday on WGR.
The stat of the day.
All right, so happy Football Friday. I teased a stat for you. It's on last night's game, and it's also going to play into, Joe, you decide. Is this good for the Bills? Could it be bad for the Bills? So, Benjamin Solak of ESPN had this, that Bo Nix ended the night with 3.3 air yards per attempt. That's the second lowest air yards per attempt in a game this year. All right, that's the setup. Here's the payoff. So, the second lowest air yards per attempt in a game was last night, Bo Nix. The lowest air yards of the year was back in week 2, and that was also against the Chargers. Jesse Minter defense is what he says there. The Chargers defense is going to try to make you throw it as short as you can possibly throw it. The pass rush is good enough. The way they play their defense. And what do the Bills do? They're an offense that is a short air yards per attempt offense, right? Josh Allen's had a couple games this year. Miami is one that's reminiscent of, I feel like we had a stat, it was the lowest air yards in a game of his career. So the Bills are almost built to do this a little bit better than years past, or a lot better than years past.
Yeah.
And that one got me thinking that here are the two lowest air yard games of the year defensively came with the Chargers playing that defense.
Wow.
So there's your stat of the day.
So that's how you get them.
That's how the Chargers get you. That's how. That's how the Chargers get you. They force short air yard attempts. Again, those quarterbacks, though, were, you know, Bo Nix and Bryce Young.
Right.
So might be a little bit of a different challenge when they're facing Josh Allen, if in fact they do play Allen. 803-0550. Happy Football Friday. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Get a call in here in one moment. I did want to say, I woke up to a message from Justin, who tweeted in about the Cameron Dicker fair catch free kick. And he wrote, "The only thought I had during the play, this game, was would Sean McDermott know the situation and take advantage of it?"
I saw something like that last night.
He wrote, "For everything right about this season, it kept popping in my head. We absolutely could be outcoached in January by Harbaugh or Peyton." And, you know, I believe, Joe, this is where the kids call this McDermott's catching strays, right?
Uh-huh.
Because he doesn't deserve this, and I'll start with one. Sean Payton had a punt in this game that McDermott would never have, ever.
Oh, it was a bad one.
Payton punted.
Bad punt. Bad
the
punt.
The punt that the Broncos gave, basically ended their game and put their playoff hopes in doubt, is a punt that McDermott would never in a million years have kicked away. I know people think he's conservative. He would never do it. We would never forgive him for this punt. And Sean Payton did it last night.
Yeah, fourth and six from his own 49, so basically midfield.
Midfield,
fourth and six, down three with 4:35 to go.
4:35 to go.
4:35 to play.
Took that punt and went down and scored a touchdown.
Yeah, pretty quickly, and the game is over.
Game over.
Yeah.
Can you – McDermott would never punt on fourth and
100%.
Six, down three with 4 minutes left.
100%. He would no chance. No chance he would punt that football. Someone might be asking, would he punt that football if Bo Nix was his quarterback? I mean, maybe that's a little different, but,
sure,
but
it doesn't really matter.
Doesn't even matter, right?
Doesn't matter. So you're out here worried about Sean Payton out-managing McDermott? Don't. Because the win percentage lost for the Broncos in that moment was 5. Full percentage points.
Yes, that's bad.
The edge to go for it was a +5, and he gave it up. So, man, McDermott would never do that. You don't have to be a McDermott fan. It's just reality. He would never do that.
Yeah.
And on Harbaugh as a game manager, I mean, I don't know that he's anything to be jealous of either.
Well, I saw, too, a part of it was also, like, at least this was the video. I don't know if Harbaugh would have got to this on his own, because I actually saw that he actually had attempted a free kick when he was the head coach in San Francisco. It was like a 71-yarder, 1 second left in the half or something. Like, so he had done this before in the NFL. He had attempted one, not made it. But the video last night was the special teams coordinator, who I saw getting credit, Sam Ficken, someone like that, that he was like, hey, we should do this. Like, it looked like he was the one that was, like, leading the charge of, this is what we can do here. And maybe the thought would be more about the special teams coordinator here than it would be even about McDermott, that, hey, Harbaugh had a guy there ready to go, ready to tell him, hey, this is what we should do.
Yep.
And do people believe Matthew Smiley is someone that would be ready to do the same thing with McDermott, given that he's had some gaffes? 9 men on the field, and the punt last, you know, a couple weeks ago. There was the kick return, or the kick against the Broncos last year block that they had too many. I don't know. Like, maybe. We won't know until it's actually tested, but
it'll never be tested, this actual rule. Again, a fair catch free kick. And while the NFL world last night had fun asking if NFL coaches would know the rule, you did and I did. There's no world in which Tyler Bass or Matthew Smiley don't know that rule. Of course they know it. And the Chargers do not even really get credit for planning for it because it only happened because of a penalty.
Right.
So it's not like three plays earlier they were thinking, whoa, hey, now we might get kick catch interference on this play.
That was my question was, do they get the free kick because it wasn't actually fair caught?
Right.
Like, that's, the ball was not actually caught. They signaled for fair catch, and then there was a penalty. Maybe that also, like, they took a while to line that up, and I was wondering, I don't even know if they mentioned this on the broadcast, I had the sound down, if that's what the coaches were figuring out with the refs, because that was my question is, I know a fair catch can give you a free kick, but did they count that as a fair catch, given that he didn't actually catch it, it was a penalty?
Yes, that's why. That's why.
Yeah.
Because of the penalty. Now, all right, we'll get a call in from Mike in Tonawanda because I want to ask you something Sal was tweeting about the end of the game and how you might actually need a rule change because of all the ways, like managing the end of a game, Harbaugh did get that game to the finish line. The way they did it was quite odd if you missed it. We'll get to that in a moment. But Mike in Tonawanda is up next. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Morning, guys. I don't know if you remember, I called yesterday. And you guys kind of touched on the thing about the Bengals, too. What I said yesterday, and my only worry is that I don't fear them per se. It's just I don't want to live in a world where we had to do another shootout like how we did with Detroit. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot to, like, do.
And it's a lot on our hearts.
Yes, exactly. And even with that, though, say if you do play Cincy in the first round, then possibly you play Baltimore in the second round, then KC in the AFC title game. That's a hell of a path to go through to get to where we got to go. I wouldn't sign up for that, you know? And I feel like, again, we were talking about it now, and I know there's still a lot of things that need to happen for Cincy to get that last playoff spot. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we say that Indy, you know, got to win out three games. You trust Indy to win three games even if it's against the Giants and that like that? I don't trust
that,
you know?
That's
and
right.
It's like, and I mean, I'm not going to depend on the Dolphins to, like, they're too inconsistent for me to trust that they're going to, you know, block that out.
But the Bengals aren't the same as that? They're not, like, you trust them to beat Denver, Pittsburgh? Right. Like, they've been kind of that rocky team the same way.
Absolutely, and I agree with that. That's why the scenario laid out, too, where maybe Pittsburgh's got to still fight for something that last game, too. But I just know once the dance starts and the playoff starts, the regular season go out the window. It doesn't matter how inconsistent the team was. It's a new season, and I still believe the Bills would win a game, a playoff game against Cincinnati this time. But it's just, man, I still want to live in that world where we got to, you know, live in a shootout, you know? Like, I do feel like, and I mean, I like McDermott, we all do. I feel like Zach Taylor sometimes is a better coach, you know, chess match coach against McDermott. It's just a bad matchup there, you know? And I noticed, too, just like how we, you know, with the Rams game, there was two receivers that killed us in that game. That's what killed us. What a sense you have, you know. It's just, I don't like that matchup for us.
Well, that's one thing, you know. If you're thinking about matchups after the Ram game, my thought was, how many teams can do that? And I don't think the answer is a lot. Cincinnati might be one of them. They might be because Burrow can absolutely peak where Stafford peaks, and Chase is probably better than Puka, and T. Higgins is pretty good. So, like, that's, and Zach Taylor comes off that tree. So, it's definitely something to think about, I guess.
Yeah.
But
Taylor, by the way, in this segment, like, Peyton, tweeting about Peyton, or Harbaugh, knowing what the rule was, and, like, getting out coached by Peyton or Harbaugh, or Zach Taylor, better game manager, I think we're not, some people aren't watching these coaches enough. McDermott is not perfect at all, and there were gaffes as recently as 1 week ago. There's one thing I am sure of about football right now is that head coaches are bad game managers. All of them.
Lots of them.
They are all bad at it. Maybe they don't take the effort into it, they don't respect the value of it, but every week you have stupid misses by head coaches, and it behooves me that they do not get that much better at it. Like, so there are small incremental improvements, I feel like, year to year by these coaches. It is mind-blowing to me, though, in these billion-dollar industries, you have coaches this regularly bad. And Taylor is not absolved from that. Peyton's not absolved from that. Harbaugh, like, McDermott is one of 32 that are all terrible at it, in my opinion.
I don't think McDermott's terrible at it. I think he's fine. I think he's fine, and like I many coaches...
Isn't he fine, though, compared to his peers?
Sure.
Which is, I guess, fine. What matters. But like in a vacuum, like he's fine. He's good fine. At it. But there are misses. There are little misses every week by most coaches, and I don't think he's.
I mean, every quarterback throws picks. Everybody makes mistakes, and that's on coaches too. Maybe we'll get you Dan Campbell's comments on this, because Campbell gave us a window into how he makes his decisions, his gutalytics basically, which are very numbers driven analytics. But he said something else about exactly how he makes a call on something. We'll get to that. Football Friday on WGR.
Christmas come this time each year.
Happy holidays to you and yours. Ladd Bukkake last night, the first rookie with 50 receiving yards in 8 straight games since Odell Beckham.
Pretty good.
Beckham did it in 9 straight. Ladd could break that record, 50 yards in 8 straight games.
He's very good. I did notice, again, last night, like thinking back to the draft and how, you know, he's great, but... The Bills drafted Coleman more for fit, I think, because Bukkake just reads like a Shakir guy.
Yeah. I mean, watching him play, he might have a slightly different skill set. But, yeah, watching the way he works defenses, I thought the same thing last night. Sal Capaccio, when we get back, and when we start out with Sal, he was asking about that potential rule change. I don't know if it's even going to get discussed, but the end of the Charger game, how L.A. killed the clock on the final play. And whether or not it should be allowed. That's next.